Blog Talk Radio.
All right. Good evening. Welcome once again to Madame Perry Salon. I'm your host, your groove mistress, and I don't know, maybe I'll be the creative director for the evening. Who knows? But I am happy to be here for you. And, of course, you don't have to call me Madam. You can call me Jen, Jennifer, JP, Perry. I'm just glad to be here with you and glad that you're listening. And thankful to all my listeners and the very nice and interesting comments I get from everyone in the reviews. I really appreciate that. Let me know what you like and what I'm doing right for you. And if you're listening tonight live, this is September 14th, 2021. If you're listening on Blog Talk Radio, if you want, you can look at the, I think there's a rectangle, I believe in the South, we call it a fuchsia, like an azalea fuchsia colored with white words that says in, follow, and you can click on that and follow, or whatever podcast app you use to listen to podcasts, you can also follow on that. We're on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Apple iTunes, Podbean. There's a lot of them that I haven't even submitted to that I think they're making money off it, but it's okay because the thing is, if people enjoy it, let's all get out there. Someone was asking me today about some of the recent guests. We had Grammy Award-winning saxophonist Dave Koz on the show a couple of months back. He wasn't sure if he was going to be going through with his tour, but he's in the swing of it now. He's got Mindy Hebert, Kirk Whalum, all kinds of cool people on there, and they're doing great. He's going to be the tour just has started, really, so we've got a couple of more months to go with it, so hopefully you'll get to see Dave Koz, and hopefully I will, too. Also, DC, the Brain Supreme, half of Tag Team, you know, whoop, there it is. And he does the Geico commercial, scoop, there it is. DC is the guy that says sprinkles at the end. Yes, someone's asked today about what kind of a guest he was. If you listen, and you know, it's always no cost to listen to this show at any time on any platform. He was so generous. DC was so generous wanting to share advice with people about whether it was getting in with show business or any kind of business or any goals that you had. He had excellent advice, and he sincerely wanted to share it. In fact, if you listen, you know he gave out his email address. And I know it's real because that's the one I use when we talk. So it's dcgottaeat@gmail.com. So check that out and listen to him. He has just a very generous heart and soul, but very intelligent as well as talented. So that was a happy one. Also, who else recently? Oh, Arden Marine. You might know her from back in the days of Mad TV. Also, she was on the Netflix show Insatiable. She plays the hilarious real estate agent who stole an Asian baby, Regina Sinclair. Her book is called Little Miss Little Compton, all about growing up in Little Compton, Rhode Island, and she is hilarious, but she also has a lot of generous, helpful advice for people in any kind of business in life and how to go for it, and if it doesn't work out, to find the pivot. So, yeah, check out her, too. And if you still, a lot of people that listened to were on here and got the book also got a tote bag she made to go with it or had made. So, yeah, check that out. Now, this is going to be such a good night, and I can tell people have been checking with me about this because I know I had to cancel last time because I had laryngitis, but this is legit. He's here. This is going to happen. I am so excited. Tonight's guest is an environmentalist. He's traveled the globe to implement evergreen regenerative development projects for people, animals, and the environment. He's also an attorney who specialized in advancing legislation to enhance sustainable personal Community and Global Development, the co-director of Partnerships for Change, which you probably know is a nonprofit implementing international projects to promote compassion, empower women, and abolish cruelty to people, animals, and the environment. And that's just part of why I am so totally psyched to have him here tonight. Very happy. He's got a brand new book called A Rising Soul, Pals. Keep your eyes on the rise. It's based on stories. As I consider him the modern Aesop from Aesop's Fables, which I loved. One of the first books I remember, things I remember checking out of the library as a kid were Aesop's Fables. So please let me say I am so happy to have right here in the genie bottle of Madame Perry's salon, my salon in cyberspace, Andrew P. Michael. Welcome to the show, Andrew.
Thank you, Madame Perry. It's quite an honor to be with you, and I really love your attitude. I'm very grateful for your attitude. I have a lot of gratitude for your attitude. So thank you.
Oh, well, you're welcome. Thank you. You know who you sound like, though? I was mentioning Dave Koz. I'm sure you know Dave.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a very important thing for him, too, when people show gratitude. He thinks that makes all the difference. You know, so, you have very similar philosophies or beliefs, not just and beliefs and values. So very interesting. Gratitude, mm-hmm. It makes a heck of a difference. It really does. And
it really does, yeah. Especially when you're maybe not in the best of frame of mind, you know, just finding that little piece of gratitude can kind of blossom within yourself. It's such a great talent, not only just a talent, but a great ability to recognize, appreciate what's around you, and also to, in that way, it's a giving, really giving mm-hmm. of appreciation to other people, which is mightily appreciated usually.
And it's amazing what it will do. You know, I was talking about Arden Marine says she's big on, you know, knowing when and how to pivot when things aren't working just right. And I said, for me, it was a situation where I won't go into it now because I've told the story on here a few times, but a situation that people said after it happened, it was like a night of, you know, bizarre car accident and other people involved, you know, none of us were hurt. None of us hit each other. Just a drive shaft dropped out of a tractor trailer ahead of me. But it was the middle of the night. But it wasn't raining. Nobody was hurt. None of us that were involved hit each other. Okay. And it led to one of the most eventful adventures that night between the record driver and his girlfriend and where they took me and sitting in the Waffle House waiting for the tire place to open. I had such a good time, just the people I met and listened to the stories they told. And everybody would go, oh, you poor thing. What a horrible, oh, are you okay? I said, I'm okay. I'm more than okay. I've heard some of the best stories ever. These are people who were fun. They were interesting. Mm-hmm. And, don't feel sorry for me. Don't cry for me, Argentina. I had a good time and I wasn't hurt. And my car was very sturdy. It lasted and, it can make all the difference. If I sat there whining, I would have never realized how much fun these people were. Everywhere. Mm-hmm. Wrecker, Waffle House, tire play, everywhere. So, yeah, it's good. But let's get to the real subject, which is you. You've got a brand new book, and I want you to tell us, A Rising Soul, Pals, Keep Your Eyes on the Rise. Tell us what... I know you've been called like a modern-day Aesop, who wrote the fables that I love so much. Mm-hmm. And tell me about you as a storyteller, how you are using stories to educate and teach people. And also, what is a soul pal?
Okay. Yeah, I'd be happy to answer that. I mean, I think a lot of everybody thinks in their own way and often has a certain way of thinking. Some people think more in terms of narratives and stories and have an emotional drive to it. Other people are more, I would call, sort of like an engineering mindset. We're really interested in how things are done, why they're done, and kind of think in a more, I would call it almost sequential pattern. So I think the beautiful thing about stories is they can be told to hopefully reach different perspectives and reach them in a sense of to be able to relate to the characters. So people really feel a connection and feel like it's an extension of themselves in some ways, and therefore mm-hmm. they can relate to the characters and also be able to, from that relationship, really increase their own understanding and learning about things in a fun way. So it's not just kind of being taught or told certain things that you should know, but more of a enjoyable journey, really, that you can enjoy by reading the story. So that is part of why I really got into these stories. I also traveled a great deal and have traveled a great deal around the world and have spent some wonderful time with many people in different cultures, from India to certain parts of Africa, and here in the United States as well, and a little and in South America as well. And I just find that there's such an incredible amount of learning that I experienced just by being in different cultures, learning about different people's beliefs and the way that affected the way they live. And also being in those places also was interesting to see to me how nature also affected how people are. And also I love nature myself. So all these things kind of came together in addition to my work, which I had done a great deal of work on public policy. And that was really to create different kinds of policies that would promote sustainable development, which is really a harmonious perspective on how to develop both our individual selves, but also develop in the world, and how we can live in harmony and peace with animals and nature. So all those things came together because I was working on this policy for good, 10 to 15 years. And we really had a big part of our effort was to engage people in our community because it was a regional effort. So we created a regional alliance to promote sustainable development, to really get people interested so that they would want to be supporters of policy that promotes sustainable development. And I really loved the work, but I also found it frustrating because I found that we weren't reaching people as much as we had hoped to. We really wanted to reach a critical mass of people that could really appreciate it and also want to support it, this kind of way of growing and developing in our own region as well as globally. What I found is one of the missing pieces or lack in it was that people were not necessarily grabbing onto this very much as we wanted. And I thought, kind of as I thought about it, it's like the way we were telling the story about what we're doing, why we're doing it, felt to me very prescriptive, preachy, and sometimes I'm sure it might have even come across in a righteous way, which can actually turn people off. So that's what kind of got me into this thing, feeling like, okay, real stories that really engage me and would engage other people is a better way of explaining things, teaching things without being a teacher, but really letting people to go through the journey to have this understanding. So that's why this book has been a labor of love, because it has come from that experience, and also to a certain degree the way I've learned to think about things, and some things that help, I believe, in my own understanding and raising of consciousness. So I wrote the stories to really integrate those things. So and the reason some people have called it fables is because I do hope that as you're enjoying the story and the characters and relating to them, you're also getting some key understandings and thinking to yourself that maybe you already have, but maybe you can grow it some more, that actually relates to our ability to be conscious and be conscious of everything, including ourselves. And so that's really why I wrote the book. And so the fables, there's a certain pattern to the stories as well. And most of them are focused on different kinds of animals and how people relate to them and how they, in some cases, want to save them from things like poachers or an environment around them that is detracting from their ability to live, everything from, incredible increase in desertification and evaporation of water from key places. And water, of course, is a key part of who we are physically as well as how we can live. And so the stories go into that in terms of people and animals and around the world. So, it starts with a pelican park, which is a story about a pelican and how it relates to things in its environment. So in this case, it's relating to a huge oil spill. And it's based on facts, things that have happened to people here as well as other parts of the world, and then how they respond to it and how the animals also respond to it and how together some great things can happen, but also some negative things can happen if we don't watch out. So Pelican Park is the first. And then the story goes kind of up in altitude from a pelican that does halftime in the water, halftime on land, really, to an egret that lives primarily on land. And each of these stories from the egret, then the next one is really about a group of animals that include an elephant, hippopotamus, other crocodiles, and other animals in this area. This area is actually in Africa. And so what happens is we learn about the nature of these animals, and a lot of them that I learned about as I was traveling and actually have done research on as well. So we learn, to me, fascinating things about the animals and also how that relates to the people that are around them from the different cultures and so forth. And as you read these stories, you also go from you get into higher and higher altitudes of where these animals live. So from the water to the ground and to the ground area. So you have animals like hippopotamus, elephants, cattle, all those kinds of animals, to flying up in the air, to eagles, and to some also mythic characters that relate to the real animals. And so so it's like an upward spiral, which is also a big part of these stories, is that we can relate to these characters by, in some cases, metaphor, where we're relating to another total reality in terms of like how an animal may see things and experience things, but also how the nature of some of these animals relate directly to our nature, and I hope we can also learn from them, learn things about that can help ourselves in our own growth. And that's what the metaphor is of an upward spiral. It's in a way how we all can live, meaning we are continuing to rise in our own understanding and consciousness, which directly impacts how we treat ourselves and other people and the whole environment around us. So that's kind of a little background on the stories. And the primary characters in these I call soul pals, because they're really animals, and they're animals, but the way, like I said, their nature in some instances is really related to our nature, so we can learn from them. And so that the soul pal, learn from them in the sense of raise our own consciousness. Why is that important? Because I think at a very deep level, how we think, how we feel, and then how we act is really how we is really basically based on our consciousness. So if we are able to raise that consciousness, we will also raise the way that we relate to everybody and everything, and also nature in a positive way. So we care about it, and we want to do things that promote those ways of being. So I hope that answered. There's another element of that I'll talk about that a little bit later.
Okay. And because, so many things you said, you've got the pinball machine of my mind just going around.
Yeah.
What, We talk about some people haven't taken things as seriously as many of us hoped that they would, as far as environment, what could mm-hmm. happen to the global warming and the climate change and so forth. And maybe that was part, what you said, maybe it was part of it. Maybe it came off too preachy because, you know, it's how you deliver the message. It's how people receive it. Do you sound like you're fussing at them or are you informing them? Are you letting them know? Mm-hmm. And I hadn't thought about it like that before. But, yeah, it can be how, you know, there's the message and the receiver and how it gets across. And if it's going to grate at somebody, no, they're not going to listen, or maybe they're not going to be aware. And yet I was thinking earlier today for some reason about how, you know, a couple hundred years ago when people settled in states, United States or America, they thought, well, there's so many trees and so many buffalo, everything will never run out.
Mm-hmm.
This will last forever. You know, and that's not true now. And so many places are in serious danger.
Mm-hmm.
In the state, California, all the floods, it's hard. It's like, it's sort of like sci-fi movies. You know, I used to say that the reason we don't have, I used to tell people the reason we don't have magazines or tabloids like the National Enquirer anymore is because the real news is so crazy that those things mean nothing. And now I think about some of the movies we've seen, like Day After Tomorrow and things like that, with some kind of environmental catastrophe, collapse, apocalypse situation. And you think, you know, this is getting, you know, people kid around and say, oh, man, this is like biblical stuff. But it's starting to get to pretty close to those films. They're starting to look more like documentaries.
Yeah. Yes. Absolutely. And, these stories and the way we see life, like movies, really are a way that we actually learn about our own life and how we relate to everything. So, like, you know, these stories that have a lot of destruction can be very exciting and interesting, but also they can impact us if they start to be what we start to look for. And that's what's kind of interesting. Some stories do that, and to be conscious of that is really critical, because I believe that what we see and what we think reflects a lot on what we actually continue to see and make our reality. So if we see a lot of destruction, which a lot of it is true, and it can motivate us actually to do something different to prevent it. But also, if they're negative stories, like I'll give you an example. Like, I mean, where I live, there's a network that people share, you know, different things that are happening in their neighborhood. And I notice on this network that a lot of it talks about crime, bad things that are happening to people. Watch out for this. Watch out for that. And yes, it's important to be aware of those things so you don't get into them. But also, I think it creates a general sense about how you feel about your own community. I mean, do you fear your community more because you're worried and you're always watching out for a criminal, for somebody that might be stealing something, or somebody might pull a gun or a robbery, you know? So it has relevance, but if it becomes the dominant way that you see your community, I don't think that's positive. I think that actually, like when I go out walking, for instance, if I've got a lot of that in my head, I'm actually kind of watching out, looking everywhere, almost paranoid, you know, to a point if that's where my mind stays. So that's why, you know, the stories and what we learn about and think about are so critical to how we think and how we feel, of what our consciousness is. And back to this idea of, you know, what stories make up our living. I mean, the stories are not only like movies, like we're talking about in books, but also just the stories that we tell ourselves are the stories that we believe. And so to become fully aware of that is really critical. And also if there are things in the stories that we want to keep in our own consciousness, want to feel because we want more of that, they can be very helpful. And that's what another element of Soul Pals is, they are what they call acronym mantras. And what is that? It's a way of seeing things, having a perspective on things, and also remembering those things so that they're almost like a mantra is considered it's like a saying or a phrase that you remember in your mind because it's so powerful in terms of you can feel it, you can see it often, and you can even hear it in your mind's eye or around you. And so that helps you remember it. So it's part of your consciousness more and more. And like you were talking about earlier, there are times in our lives that I think, and times in my life that I wanted to pivot from a certain way of feeling and thinking. And these acronym mantras, these different characters, each of the soul pals in the story, like I said, is a character and a soul pal, meaning they have a important message that can help you and improve your life, I think. And I use in my life, and I'm not saying these are the end-all be-all, but I think they can have a positive impact and in your own life and how you feel about your life. So a quick and simple acronym, and there's a story about this in the book as well, is about a woman, her name is Celia, and her dog, and the woman is backing out of her garage and out of her driveway, and she's just backing out, and her window's open, and this dog, who happens to be named Clancy, is looking and starts barking vociferously in her ear, and she like stops out of like what's the problem? What's the problem? And then because she was able to stop, a little child basically comes in her view, and the child was literally right behind her car, and she couldn't see it. So that's the case of where she looked at the dog, and at first the dog, you know, it was a neighborhood dog. She loves dogs and things like that. But, you know, she was alarmed. And so now a way of looking at this dog, Clancy, is also a way of reaffirming a certain thought that you want to keep in your mind, which is, and we were talking this at the very beginning. So DOG, it's an acronym meaning the letters of the word, the letters of that word spell words that then create a meaningful phrase to yourself. And that's what an acronym is. And a mantra is because you can repeat it and then it becomes part of your, in a way, your second nature, your consciousness. The dog stands for dwell on goodness, D-O-G, which the idea of this kind of a soul pal character is that whenever you see a dog or think about a dog, or if you have a dog as a pet, you're also going to think, dwell on goodness. It's like a mantra to remind you of what to focus on and so that it will be a good quality in your life. So that's an example of a soul pal and a mantra where instead of saying, maybe you might have, some people have had bad experiences with dogs in the past. And, you know, so by seeing a dog in a different light, it actually can help you pivot to that's how you're going to feel about the dog more often and even feel about yourself.
I like it. I like that. And of course, that fits for dogs. Definitely.
Yeah.
I am going to stop just a moment. If you're listening live out there on September 14th and you have a question or comment for it, Andrew, you can give us a call at 646-716-9922. That's 646-716-9922. And it's a toll-free call in the continental U.S. Or if you're in a situation where you can't make a phone call but you want to get a message through, all you have to do is just message me on Facebook, either through Madame Perry Salon or through Jennifer Maudette Perry. And I will be happy to share that. So right now, I'm going to take just about 45 seconds, share a message, and be right back with Andrew P. Michael.
I mean, the world has gone crazy, right? I mean, this whole pandemic, I don't even know if I'm coming or going anymore. You know what I mean? But the one thing during the pandemic that I found out, right, that was a good thing was the Madame Perry Salon. I mean, this podcast, right, when you hear her laughing, all you want to do is laugh. Right? When her dog's barking in the background and she's talking to the duck, she's going to an interview, and I'm like, this podcast is the best podcast I've ever heard before. You know what I mean?
Well, I don't know if it's the best one you've ever heard, Sebastian, but I certainly hope it's among your favorites and you enjoy. Okay, Jennifer Perry back here with Andrew P. Michael. And I've got so many questions to ask you, but I really I was just about to ask you before you brought up the subject of the AMP, the A-M-P, the just acronym mantra power.
Yeah.
And reading through a list of them, it's almost uncanny how the acronym, the words that they stand for really suit the word, like OWL. Tell us about that one, because I thought, what a perfect acronym for that to match the animal.
Thank you for asking the question. So an owl, and all these different acronyms we're talking about, there are stories in the book. Some of them are chapters, and there's some that are actually just little stories that you can read also, and they're connected in the back of the book to a certain website as well as being in the book itself. So an owl, I look at an owl and watch an owl and observe an owl, and of course there's certain characters that it has, characteristics. One, it has an uncanny ability to move its neck in almost 360 degrees. So what does that really mean? It really means it can see the whole picture of all of its surroundings. And owls in mythology and different ways people look at owls in terms, even like characters in tarot cards or something like that. They're associated with being wise often. A wise owl, it's very common to hear that. And so I was just thinking about owl, and it's really like, I'm thinking, okay, for me, in my own life, I want to be wise. I want to be smart. And by looking at an owl, I kept thinking, you know what? If I'm like an owl, I'm able to see my full surroundings, just like the nature of an owl. I'm gonna make great choices in my life, and they're gonna be based on seeing everything around me, the wholeness around me. So I thought, okay, an owl. That really stands for opportunities won't linger. OWL, meaning seize the moment as carpe diem, seize the moment, take advantage of it right now. And the key is when you do that, instead of being, just kind of reactive and just reacting to things without any kind of thought, is like the key to it, to a good choice, is understanding everything around you to make it the best choice. And so OWL is one of those, again, SoulPal acronym mantra. And the reason I call it AMP, acronym mantra power, is that also is an acronym mantra power, because AMP in its meaning is energy. I mean, the meaning of an AMP is to reflect a certain level of energy. So the idea, again, of SoulPals and these mantras, acronyms, is to really increase your energy in life, increase your power in life. And so that's what a now would mean. As a soul pal, and that's what I think it's fun, because just like I said, the nature of the owl, how it is in the world, really, like you said, makes for the meaning of the mantra, and then hopefully makes something that can help you as well, as it helps me.
It is. It's just perfect. This makes me wonder. You've got to wonder with that, okay, and not that you're not a extremely smart man. I know you are, but when you have something like that, you have to wonder, did that come out of me alone, or was that given to me? Just sort of like from the owl, from the earth.
Yeah. I totally thank you for saying that, because a lot of these things, you're right. I mean, they come to me. I don't necessarily think, like you said, I'm brilliant at all, but they come to me. And then because they come to me, like a lot of them actually come to me in second nature. Like, I have no idea where that came from, but I just felt it or thought it, so that's an example. Right. I mean, and I like some of these characters in the stories, because I also like to say there's clarity and hilarity. So some of these beautiful animals, have the way they act is also brings clarity. And it's hilarious, too, to think of them. Like, a zebra, you know, you look at a zebra, you know, it has, you know, beautiful black and white pattern. It's sometimes associated with, you know, very creative quality. And also to be able to see black and white at one time is kind of cool. It's like not some people use black and white, like the difference is it's either black or white. Well, in the case of a zebra, it's kind of hilarious because it's the exact opposite, because you see the wholeness instead of seeing the difference of the black and white. And then the hilarity in it is also because if you take the quality of a zebra, and a lot of people see them as kind of as interesting and even zany. I mean, I've seen wonderful pictures of zebra where all their stripes are not black and white, but they're multicolor. So it's kind of a fun way to look at it. So the acronym for zebra, the acronym MANTRA for zebra is Zany Expressions Bring Rare Authenticity. So zebra. And it's a reminder that, you know, being serious all the time, you don't have to be. And in fact, through zany expressions, you allow other people to bring out whatever is natural to them as well. So it's a encouragement for me and others to, you know, don't worry about being zany. Don't feel bad about it or feel judged about it, but go for it, because it really can help other people as well.
Would you please say that again for the zebra acronym?
Sure.
Please just say it out loud again here.
Sure. Zany expressions bring rare authenticity.
Okay. Just had to hear that again. That's so perfect. Yeah. I've got to ask you a couple of questions too, but I'm going to give you two questions and then you decide which one you want to go with first. One is I want to talk to you about how your new book makes a case for raising consciousness as a means to fight climate change and the destruction it's causing and why. But also I wanted to talk about it because I'm not sure if one really came before, I guess one came before the other, but I get the feeling that this is something that's always meant a lot to you. But you've traveled so much. You've been to the Indian subcontinent. You've been to China, into Africa, and I don't know where else. And you sound like, listening to you, I think about my husband for years and years and years, his work took him around the country, and he'd be in other countries for a couple of months at a time. And quite often he would be in Africa, mostly in West Africa, like, you know, Guinea-Bissau, you know, Conakry, places like that. And then sometimes maybe in Central, you know, Northern Africa. But he would send me a picture, and I know that you know the beauty of this. He would send me a picture of, he said, well, this was our traffic jam today, and it would be where they were stopped and just a herd of zebra going by.
Oh, okay.
You know, because he was saying, I am so lucky to be able to see this as a traffic, you know, to see this is my traffic jam. I am the lucky, so lucky to see this, and I know you know what that looks like.
Yes, exactly. So you're asking about the raising consciousness and what that's about, and also just about experiences in travel and how that affects me. Were those the two major questions?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. Well, in terms of raising consciousness, I think here's another acronym, but when like as I was saying earlier, when you see things and you kind of put it into your own mind and into your own experience and being, that is what is going to be reflected back to you more and more, even when you don't see like zebras crossing the the street, whatever. Mm-hmm. It'll still be a thought in your mind, and it can be good or can be bad. But if you want it to help yourself in certain ways, it can help raise your consciousness. Because this again, that gets back to the acronym MANTRA too. Because the more you have this in your consciousness, the more that is what you're going to experience in life, in your own life. And so this is critical for our environment because, you know, to the extent people sense their own sense of worth and respect it, that's also how they will experience, I think, the environment around them, that which they actually depend upon for their life. But they're going to experience it in that way. So if you can have more experiences of that, then that's, I believe, going to raise your consciousness for caring about everything around you. So it's really the truth is that everything's, I think everything is connected, linked together. It's a whole. And understanding that the inner environment is the also directly affects the outer environment. The inner environment is, a sense, our own thinking inside of ourselves, our own consciousness. And the outer environment is, like we're talking about, everything around us, including animals, nature, even, you know, storms, wind, all the elements of the environment. And so that's why the two are connected in terms of raising our consciousness, because the more we have, we are conscious about the more things, the more we care about them. And then the more I think we're moved to act to support those things that you love. So that's the central crux of raising consciousness as it relates to the environment. Because I think, like I was saying, I worked on public policy to change laws in the state of California and nationally as well. And the policy was about how to protect the environment, how to protect our water, how to also promote economic development so it doesn't leave people, you know, stranded and desperate to do whatever they can to bring in the money, which to basically care for themselves. And I think that kind of situation is what breeds a lack of consciousness for our environment, as well as, you know, sometimes a lot of us, you know, our most experience getting our food was essential from packages and from the supermarket, not from where they actually came from. And so mm-hmm. that consciousness, along with, you know, wanting to get something because you want it, because you're hungry, and that'll gratify you. And you don't really think about maybe all the things that go into what you're eating and being grateful for those things. And so, so the nature is affected by our economic well-being and how that affects how we think about nature as well, and whether we can, if we want to actually improve it, I think by being conscious of it and acting on that thinking will help it. So that's the basis for raising consciousness, why I think it's important, and how I think a lot of these soul pals, many of them are animals, can help bring about the raising of consciousness. So this, and I think the raising of consciousness, like the word raising implies, it's a continual journey of elevation of your consciousness. And in these stories, each different chapter goes to a higher altitude with the animals that are a part of it and the characters that are in it. And so I also say the book is raising altitude as you raise your attitude, because your attitude is directly related to how you're thinking. And so it's another metaphor, but I think it works in a lot of ways, because the greater our attitude about things, our thinking about things, the greater our consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And so that, go ahead. And I was going to answer your second question if you want.
Okay. Just go where you're going, Andrew, because we're following.
Okay.
And I've got two messages coming here. One from James in Utah, and he says, "Yes, this is one of the best guests you've ever had. Thank you so much."
Oh, well.
And
thank you.
And Louise in
yeah.
Tennessee just said the same, similar mm-hmm. thing. Louise in Tennessee said, "I listened to this tonight. I was waiting for this show." Let me get my light on here. And she says, "Thank mm-hmm. you so much, Mr. Michael. You're speaking the truth, and this is something that everyone should read this, and everybody should listen to this, because we don't have that much a time to save the planet." So she said, "Thank mm-hmm. you so very much, and thank you, Louise, for your comment."
Well, thank you very much. Well, that's very gratifying to hear that. And so a little bit more about the effect that travel has had on me in terms of learning about people and the environment and the animals around me. There's one story in here which I'm really excited for people to hear about and learn about, read about, which is called Jaded in the Forest of Lake Chad. And these stories, even though they're fictional, they're based on facts about people, animals, and the environment. They are real truths mm-hmm. that I've learned about them. And so in this case, this is a story about an elephant in the heart of Africa near Lake Chad, which is a real lake. And the deal is the Lake Chad has evaporated to a mere 5% of what it was, 50 years ago. So mm-hmm. this giant lake is now only 5% of it for a couple of reasons, which are described in the story. One is how people use the water from the lake. There's been a fair amount of irrigation to grow crops and things like that, and that's affected the amount of water in the lake, as well as, and equally as important as, the change in the climate, which has led to greater evaporation of the water and less water overall in the lake. And anyway, the story is about these elephants that migrate to and from Lake Chad. And when I first started learning about Lake Chad, I saw that, this huge lake had become this little puddle. And the thing that interested me most is I saw a satellite picture of this, and it showed it from 1960 and what it looked like in 1990. And between that time, it was interesting because even though the water had shrunk, the actually greenery around that lake had increased. And I just found that so fascinating and totally, to me, counterintuitive, because what I came to understand is that even though the water had gone down, the water table below the lake, plus when you have a lot of rainfall in the rainy season, together would create a lot of greenery. And that's exactly what, for instance, an elephant would want to be in that environment, because they graze to live. They're also vegetarians. And so that's a fascinating thing. But there's a challenge in doing that. This, again, is based on truth. There's a poaching that happens in this area, because on the black market, elephants' tusks and those kind of things fetch a high price, and people are basically poaching them, selling the parts of these animals that are valuable, like the ivory. And anyway, so the case is there are a lot of people involved in this situation, because in Africa, there's the people that obviously the indigenous and the people that live there. There are also a lot of people coming from outside, like there are other Africans that have been involved in various wars in their own countries that have ended. And now these people are looking for income, and they also have a lot of weapons. And so some of these people have literally created bands of terrorist bands, like Boko Haram. And they actually are going out to hunt animals as part of their way of making money, poach animals. And so there's people that speak Arabic there. And also the Chinese are very involved in Africa. They're the number one investors in Africa, I would say primarily to extract natural resources, not necessarily beneficial to a lot of the people that live there. And mm-hmm. But there are a lot of Chinese in there, and there's some investments that they make, I'm sure, that are helpful too. But overall, this is a situation. So you have Chinese there, you have Arab people that speak Arabic, and also you have the indigenous people, the people that live there. And so this was interesting, because I was realizing as they're trying to deal with poaching, there are all these different languages. And so people, one thing about perception, the way a lot of us think, I think, is that what we are accustomed to is what we tend to are familiar with, and that's what we tend to see and hear more of. So it was interesting, because the words in Arabic and Chinese and the sound of those words, along with the native language there, that some of the words have different meanings, even though the sounds of the words, rather, have different meaning to people that are listening to them based on what they're expecting to hear. So a Chinese mm-hmm. might hear a word that sounds like jade, but it means something else. It means something else to other people. Arabic people are listening to the same sound, and they hear the word means mamba or snake,
mm-hmm.
and they also hear other ominous things, like they're being warned, watch out, because this is dangerous, don't continue, because there are different ways that can be broadcast to the people that are there to protect them. And the Africans also have a different meaning for the same sound. And so what that showed me is, and all these sounds actually can be used for the benefit of the effort, which is to prevent their from being poached. And this taught me a lot about perception and how important it is for us to broaden our perspective and our perception so that we're not trapped in only experiencing and seeing things based on what we are used to hearing and seeing. And that was important for me, just as an understanding, to better understand myself and hopefully help other people realize that the more we can broaden our perspective, the more we can understand things around us and also not be trapped in a limited thinking. That's just an example. And each of those animals in the story are soul pals, and they have in addition to what they're doing in the story and how they're acting, also the spelling of their name has an acronym mantra power to it. So that's why, all that comes from my experience of being able to travel among different people that speak different languages and to understand that's the power of perception, to be aware of that.
My. If you've just tuned in, I'm talking to Andrew P. Michael, and his new book is Arising Soul Pals, Keep Your Eyes on the Rise. And if for some people tell me, there's a gal named Becca that I know is not too far from me in Atlanta, and she tells mm-hmm. me that she listens to the show when she's driving on the way home. She has a long drive home from work. So people who are riding or listening while they jog, just want you to know that I will be sharing information on how to get Andrew Michael's new book on all of my social media, whether it's Madame Perry Salon or my personal social media, as well as information on Partnership for Change, the nonprofit of which you are co-director. I'll be sharing all of that too. If I could just read, if you don't mind, the acknowledgement paragraph.
No, thank you.
Do you mind?
Please, thank you. Thank you.
Okay. From Arising Soul Pals, Keep Your Eyes on the Rise, the acknowledgement paragraph. To me, this is so beautiful. The core of manifestation is acknowledging what you love and having confidence and what you would like more of in your life. I acknowledge with gratitude people who taught me about the power of acknowledgement as core to creating your life. What you acknowledge thinking, seeing, feeling, and hearing now grows to become how you will live in the future.
Thank you.
Just that paragraph alone has so much beauty and meaning in it, and such good lessons for all of us to live by. Makes my soul feel good just to read it. I do have to say one thing to you. I've got so much more about which I want to talk with you. Would you mind, and I know I'm putting you on, I don't mean to put you on the spot since you're on the air, but
mm-hmm.
would you mind if I talk to your publicist again and ask if you can come back?
Oh, I'd be honored. That'd be wonderful. Thank
okay,
you.
I was going to say, I've got so much more to ask you, and also about Partnerships for Change, as well as your new book, Arising Soul Pals. And Keep Your Eyes on the Rise. I've got so much more to ask you and listen to, and I know you're an incredibly busy man, but if you could fit me in any time soon in your schedule, I would just be honored to have you here. And okay, all right. And
Madam Perry, it would be an honor. Madam Perry, it would be an honor. Thank you.
It's an honor to me. And I just got a message from this is Drew, who lives in Arizona. He says, I'm so glad you asked him that. So yeah, Drew, believe me, you'll be one of the first people I let know. I will put out the word when we get it when we get to Michael scheduled again. So thank you for confirming or acknowledging that. So thanks. I wish you much success with this book, as well as Partnerships for Change, but so much you've put so much of your education and your attitude and your work and your ability to travel into so much good for the rest of us. And I wish you all success with this book. I can tell it's going to be successful. And again, I'll be sharing it everywhere for people to find it easily. And
thank you.
This is going to be an absolute hit. I am delighted to have had you here tonight.
To speak to you. Yeah, thank you very much. I look forward to speaking again with you. Really a pleasure.
Thank you. Thank you. I feel so as well. So I will reach Ashley. So unless you're just being very polite to me, like some Southerners do, you know, like we'll say one thing to people and go. You know,
no,
I know people
no,
think
it's
all
real.
Bless your heart, but.
Yeah. No, thank you. I'm very honored, and I'm not joking. It's more like a authentic thing. Like I've got a lot of zebras going through me.
Oh, good. Good. I'm very glad. All right. Well, this is where I'm going to say, folks, thank everyone for listening and for sharing this and for your comments, reviews, and sharing with other people. I am so grateful to you, each and every one. And I'm going to close out with, hey, this is my song. Everybody's got to swing. And I think we need to swing toward, let me get to these acronym mantra powers. This is not an acronym, but it's called Everybody's Got to Swing. And I think that speaks for itself. Okay. So everybody, be good to yourselves. Be good to each other. I think you're wonderful. And I'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Nancy.